We are back live on the Tuesday Night Blitz, BTRFF.com, AsylumFantasySports.com, RFSportsRadio.com, and worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Fligger and Briggs, and thanks for taking a little time out of your day to listen to us. Thank you. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, that slow, painful crawl to 2,000 continues at Asylum Football.
Yes, indeed. I'll tell you what, I'm giving myself a medal for braving through sickness.
Yes,
and just crawling to my microphone so I could put on a quality, entertaining show.
Well,
because you by yourself is pathetic.
Let's not oversell it here. You're here. We'll give you that. You sound like you're in the bathroom coming through the microphone. I don't know if I can clean that up later, but I will give you credit for powering through. A man of your age, less than this, has killed men of your age.
In my prime, man.
Your prime.
In my prime.
What? All right, Rick, way too much to get into today in the show. Some big announcements. If you didn't hear, there was a big game on Sunday we may want to discuss a little bit.
Is that what that was?
Yes, you have some fun and frivolity sitting over there. A ton of stuff going on, Rick.
Yeah, and let's not forget, we are on Tuesday night right now. But this coming Thursday, in our previous scheduled time, we decided that it would be just a much better flow, so you don't lose track over episodes week after week. We're going to play in its entirety the interview that we had with NFL agent Relio Mastrantonio.
Yes,
and it's really good stuff. We urge you to listen to it. He takes you from locating a prospect, when you can contact them, the whole way through signing and negotiating and so forth. It's just a really great piece, and we're just going to play it in its entirety. And we were going to have it in a series and play it as a segment in our shows over a period of about 3 to 4 weeks. But we got to think, we had some technical problems the first time we tried to do it.
Minor technical
difficulties. But then we got to thinking, you know, it may not be as effective as just following
right.
The flow. So we're just going to play it on Thursday. So make sure you tune into that.
It was about an hour and a half, I believe,
a little short of 15, something like that.
And to try and break it up into 3 or 4 15 or 20 minute segments, I don't think did really owe justice in the information he provided us. So dovetailing off of that, what we're going to do, we've done a lot of thinking this week, which is dangerous for everyone involved. I think most of you out there listening can agree. We are going to add content is king. That's what I've heard as I've researched how we're going to hit it big in this business, Rick. And the common theme is content is king. So what we're going to do, as you know, this show is being recorded for the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN on Twitter. Let them know you heard us there. We are recording this show on Tuesdays. That will be the show. That will be your fantasy sports show, your usual show you're used to hearing. Don't worry, there'll still be some shtick and some gimmicks, and we'll have some fun there. We are going to also each Tuesday night record, just for the two of us, very, very intimate, Rick, record for the two of us. We don't have a – you all right over there?
I don't think I'd choose that word.
Oh, all right. Well, that's what I chose, very intimate. We're going to record. We don't have a name for it yet. We'll start it next week, so we will have a name put together by then, unless you can come up with something now, Rick. A bonus hour, if you will, that we will continue to replay in our usual 8 p.m. Thursday time slot, because so many millions of you have gotten used to hearing us in that time slot. We want to provide you much more content. Now, this Thursday show is going to be my kind of show. It could be anything we could dream of.
This Thursday show is Relio Mastrantonio,
right. Certainly. Next Thursday, the bonus hour, if you will, of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show is going to be a real mashup of just anything. It could be a continuation from the previous show. We never get it all in. It could be whatever stuck in Rick's craw, which he apparently has the biggest craw in the business because there is so much stuff stuck in it. Fashion, design, the Olympic, whatever you want, Rick, beer. I might just get hammered and snore into the microphone. Yeah. Whatever we want.
The Olympics are coming up.
The Olympics, yeah. We have a competition going there.
There's not going to be any competition.
No, I botched that one a little bit. But that's what it's going to be, an hour of us just doing what we want to do, how we want to do it. So check that out every Thursday starting next week at 8 p.m.
I'll tell you what, just right now in the name of honesty and fair play,
because
I'm taking advantage of you,
That's true.
Will let you drop
Oh,
somebody from your drafted Olympic team, and pick up another country if you so desire.
I do not desire. I am standing behind my team.
I am letting you drop the Netherlands.
Listen, Rick, as a true patriot, I drafted with my first round pick these here United States of America. That is all I
good
need.
Pick.
God bless America, Rick. That's all I need.
Got news for you.
Well, yeah. The other three aren't so good, but I'm going to stick with it. I will not drop the Netherlands. I predict the biggest Olympics in Olympic history for the Netherlands, although I couldn't find the Netherlands on a map. I can't lie to you.
Okay. Don't say I didn't give you the opportunity.
So there it is. Let's sum it all up, everything we have going on.
I can give you another country,
okay,
and you can keep the Netherlands. How's that?
You're getting that cocky. You're feeling that good. Now you're on. Although this time I'm going to do a little research and figure out who that other
team
is.
No, you have to pick them now.
Oh, all right. Well, who wasn't picked?
I can't tell you.
All right. Well, I'll work on that during the show.
Liechtenstein wasn't picked.
Yeah, yeah.
Luxembourg wasn't picked.
Luxembourg. Is that a country?
Of course it's
a
country.
Cheese.
No.
What's the cheese? The stinky one.
Limburger.
Oh, Limburger. That's not a country. I thought he was a pilot.
That was Charles Lindbergh.
Oh, good Lord. How do you remember all this?
I'm smart.
Well, it's not. Again, let's not push it. All right. Anyhow, let's sum it all back up. Each week live on Blog Talk Radio, BTRFF.com, you will hear the usual Asylum Fantasy Sports Show that will then be replayed worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network each and every Sunday. On Thursday, this Thursday, you will hear Relio Mastriano in his entirety, that entire interview. Check that out. That will also be heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Network. Beginning next week, February 13th, I believe that is, Rick, if I'm not mistaken, you will hear each week, 8 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio and at AsylumFantasySports.com, the bonus hour, or whatever we decide to call it.
It may be the bonus 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It may be the bonus hour and 15 minutes.
Bonus
we don't
four
know.
4 hours, depends on what's going on, and that could be a little bit of anything. I would, without having done one yet, knowing us, I would highly, highly recommend you check that out.
We can cover anything from cooking to pro wrestling. I mean, there's anything
wrestling
in between.
Cooking's woman's work. I don't much care for that.
Oh, I love eating.
Although I got the turkey fryer out for the Super Bowl and threw anything I could put in there, nuts, bolts, anything I could throw in there. It was delicious.
Yes.
I'm still feeling it a little bit today, but it was quite I enjoy the turkey fryer.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always found them a little stressful. Yeah, there's a lot of rules, and you got to be careful. But I also found the more beer you have, the less stressful the turkey fryer is. But
there's less rules.
That's probably a Thursday conversation, not a Tuesday conversation.
We better get moving. All I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the Super Bowl. It was a debacle
from
the word go.
But not the game itself. There's a lot surrounding
it. Well, okay. We'll do that. I mean, it was, and I will say, we said it before we went on the air, it was probably the most surprising Super Bowl I have seen in years. I was expecting a close game. I actually had picked Denver. Wouldn't have surprised me if Seattle won, but to win in that fashion, such dominating fashion, it did shock me. I really did not expect Denver to be completely shut down.
Completely outmanned.
Helpless, really.
Absolutely. And looking at it, Rick, again, there's no sense breaking down the game. There's no sense breaking down the statistics. But I found interesting, coming out of that game, I have two questions I want to ask you. These are the two questions that stick out most to me. The second one's going to be kind of obvious. But I think the way I look at this game, Rick, had I told you Saturday night or Sunday morning that when this game ended, Marshawn Lynch would have had 15 carries for 39 yards, Russell Wilson would have completed 18 passes for 206 yards, and Peyton Manning would have completed 34 passes, Demaryius Thomas would have had 13 for a 118 and a touchdown, what would you have said?
Oh, I would have thought that it was probably about a 30-17 whitewashing by Denver.
Yeah, it was Seattle getting wiped out. What this team did defensively is without question, and we'll get into it, it'll tie into my second question. I want to start with the props where they belong. I'm not going to go as far as to say Denver and Peyton Manning choked. Seattle played that well. That defensive performance was the most impressive thing I think I have ever seen. They came in, they just completely shut them down from the word go. The offense was fine. They didn't have to do much. I don't think they did a whole lot, save for the third down conversions. That was huge. That shows the maturation of a Russell Wilson. But when you look at these final statistics, it is stunning that Seattle puts up 35 on the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and it's amazing. 35, they had 43.
Well, they won by 35.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They put up 35.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you look at Peyton Manning. You can say, well, you know, Peyton Manning choked in the big one. It wasn't like he had a 4 or 5 pick day. He had 2 interceptions. One was with his arm was
right.
hit. So, yeah. I mean, it was really 1 interception.
A bad one.
A bad
at a bad time.
It was, no doubt. But 280 yards and a touchdown, and they had virtually no run game. He was harassed from the word go. And just you could just tell he was not comfortable back there. The receivers were being manhandled. The offensive line was being manhandled. It was just, like you said, it was a mismatch all the way around.
Yeah, and I guess hindsight always being 20/20, you can look back on it and see what the matchups were. Where was Wes Welker?
Exactly.
Where was Eric Decker?
I don't know.
Julius Thomas got shut down. Was it all the pressure on Peyton Manning? What I have never seen anything like, because Peyton Manning completed all these passes, they were all underneath, and they were all horizontal. These receivers never had an opportunity to turn up field. I don't know how many 3rd and 5 and 6s there were where Thomas would be running a crossing route 4 yards deep and got hit so fast and so hard. A guy his size, all he has to do is turn around, and he's picked up those other 2 yards for the first down, which is how that offense is structured. He was not allowed the opportunity to turn, let alone get up field.
And the few times they did get some separation, Peyton missed them.
True, very true.
And I think a lot of it was due to the fact of being harassed so much. He was getting hit. Look, this guy, we made the comment, I think it was to, I can't remember who I even tweeted to. We were talking back and forth. There was Nick Reduke, the Trader X, I believe it was
Nick
Reduke-a-noo.
Yes.
And, you know, we've commented that has anyone even laid a hand on Peyton Manning?
In the AFC title game.
Exactly, yeah. Against New England. Well, I mean, it was like every play he was getting brushed, at least, in this game. It was crazy.
Just, I think Denver came in with a game plan, tried to execute it, and flat Seattle wouldn't let him do it. You know, we want to talk about all the Peyton Manning haters. Boy, this was the best thing that could have ever happened to them. This was so much less about Peyton Manning as it was about the Seattle defense, in my opinion. He didn't have a shot from the word go.
No, he didn't. And you know, the haters can say, well, he choked and this, that, and the other. No, he didn't. They just got beat. As a team, got defeated. It was simple as that.
A better team came in, played their best game. Denver probably played their worst game. A better team showed up, played their best game in the biggest spot, and this is what you get from it.
And it goes to show you, even with the enhanced rules, defense still can win championships.
No question about it. I got to tell you, that makes me happy. How many weeks in a row did I just have a fit giving out stinky sucks to the NFL for the Tecmo Bowl, for the game of Madden that this league has become? You have to wonder what Roger Goodell feels about this Super Bowl. Obviously, you never want a blowout. But this shows you, week in and week out against mid-level teams, a high-octane offense is always going to perform the way Goodell wants. However, you match them up against a number one defense, this is what you see. Defense is going to get it done. They cannot completely legislate defense out of the game, albeit Roger Goodell will continue to try. There will probably be at least 4 rule changes that come out of this game alone. But you can't legislate defense out of the game. And if you still have a solid defense, a hard-hitting, a fast defense, 9 times out of 10, you're going to win that ball game.
Oh, exactly. And you put forth the question, where was Wes Welker? Not real sure where during the game, but, you know, not short of something, you know, not too intelligent to say. Wes Welker admitted that he and his teammates weren't prepared for the noise during their first drive.
It's the Super Bowl. Yeah, I guess Super Bowls are normally – you know what I found interesting? They were talking about Peyton Manning. He's now 1-2 in Super Bowls, like that's the end of the world.
Kurt Warner's 1-2. Dan Marino's 0-1.
How about Wes Welker? He's 0-3 in
the
Super Bowl.
Wes Welker's 0-3.
I don't know how much a wide receiver –
And Wes Welker dropped some balls
he did.
In Super Bowls.
No question about it. And I think you saw that this week. These guys didn't want to get hit. I think the Peyton Manning, the first interception was bad. I don't think you saw a complete give-in to get after that ball, at least tip it away. I think early in that game, the Broncos got tired of getting hit real early in that game.
Yeah, they were intimidated. There's no question about that.
All right, so I think the other question, Rick, I don't even know if I want to discuss it, but it's been discussed everywhere, and I think we have to discuss it. Does this at all, I know we have to talk about Peyton Manning's legacy. Does this all taint what Peyton Manning has done in his career and what his legacy is going to be?
To me, it does not. Look, he's, what is he? I think he's 11-12 in the postseason. You can say, okay, he doesn't win the big games. We can go back to the AFC title game last year. Peyton Manning didn't lose that game.
No.
The Denver defense lost it to Torrey Smith running wide open.
Basically a
times.
Hail Mary.
Exactly. So, and there's handfuls of games like that. There's games where he didn't play well. And there's games where, New England just flat out beat them. So, no, I mean, the guy's 11-12 in championships. He's 1-2 in Super. The guy's won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's not Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana. Okay, I mean, Joe Namath's 1-0. And what else did the Jets do?
Right.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, Broadway Joe, they had a year, no question about that, and they took it to the Super Bowl. And but other than that, I'm not even really never even sniffed a championship.
No. And that's just it. Look, Peyton Manning, maybe save for Dan Marino, is the greatest regular season quarterback that ever played. Similarly to Dan Marino, not a lot of success in the postseason, although he's got that one Super Bowl ring and he's played for three. Dan Marino would have loved two more cracks
sure.
at it.
Hey, look at Jim Kelly. There's not real stigma on Jim Kelly.
Right.
He's 0-4.
0-4 in the Super Bowl.
You know, now, wide right. They should have won that game.
Now, I don't think you generally mention Jim Kelly amongst the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
I agree.
This doesn't change
Fran
that
Tarkington's
fact.
0-4.
Right. No question about it. And this game specifically, and maybe you give him a pass here, this game specifically, you got to get Peyton. Yeah. This wasn't Peyton Manning's fault.
And let's not rush to haste judging either. He's not done playing.
No, he's got two or three more years
look
left.
Look at John Elway. He was a loser until he won those last two Super Bowls.
No question about it.
So, I mean, if Peyton Manning maybe wins a couple in the next 3 years and retires at 3-2 in Super Bowls, and this guy, he's going to be the all-time leading passer. His legacy, he's going to be, if not the greatest quarterback in history, he's going to be the top three.
Easily. He's got to be there. So our Super Bowl coverage will continue right after this. And we're back live on the Tuesday Night Blitz of AsylumFantasySports.com and the Armed Forces Radio Network talking Super Bowl. Not a lot left to say, Rick, but there was one quote I wanted to read. Doug Baldwin had a decent little game. I think 66 yards, got himself in the end zone. Had a little war of words with one Chris Carter, and curious what you thought about this, Rick. Apparently Chris Carter had mentioned earlier in Super Bowl week that the Seattle receiving corps was unimpressive. I'm struggling to find the quote right now, but we'll just leave it at that. He was unimpressive. So now Doug Baldwin, has himself a Super Bowl ring, and he says that appetizers, that's what Chris Carter called them, appetizers, and there was no main dish
okay.
on that Seattle receiving corps. Doug Baldwin states to Chris Carter, "My man that said we were appetizers right to me, he told me to Google him. And I did that, and I saw that he was a Hall of Famer, which, like I said, I respect what he did on the field. But I also saw two conference championship appearances, none of which he won. And I didn't see any Super Bowl appearances. All that stuff came to me in Google, and I would love for him to come to me. I would love to show him the Super Bowl ring. If he doesn't want to come to me and personally see it, tell him he can Google it." Wow.
Yeah. What can you say? I mean, Chris Carter is being an analyst. And let's face it, without Percy Harvin in there, there's probably not an analyst out there that is going to rank Seattle's core of receivers in the top 15.
No.
Simple as that.
I think Chris Carter nailed it.
Yeah.
Collectively as a group, they're great for that offense they run, but he's right.
Of course. I mean, you know, back when we had Patrick Johnson on last week, he's the first to admit that their offense wasn't very potent.
No.
And he was a wide receiver on that offense.
Yeah.
They played not to get a lead and have the defense hold him.
Right.
And that's basically it.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't like to use the word game manager like you would with Trent Dilfer back then. Russell Wilson, I think, a little more dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
I
agree.
These are all pieces. And message to Doug Baldwin and any other mid-level player on this team. You won this as a team. Congratulations. Great job. That does nothing for you individually. That doesn't put you in the same stratosphere as Chris Carter.
No.
Chris Carter played on some terrible teams, played on some decent teams with some average quarterbacks. All this man did, that's all you said about Chris Carter, all he did was catch touchdowns. The Seattle Seahawks did not win the Super Bowl because of you, Doug Baldwin. There was some kid named Curse I've never heard of, who had just as many catches, yards, and touchdowns as you. Percy Harvin came back in, just dynamic. Marshawn Lynch got you where you are. Russell Wilson.
Right.
This does not propel you individually to stardom.
Maybe,
your team, yes, not you.
Maybe he read Michael Vick's tweet that came out on Twitter and said, no disrespect to Doug Baldwin, but Russell Wilson should have won MVP. Apparently, Doug Baldwin thought he won MVP, too.
Maybe he believed
Michael Vick did. I
don't
know.
Maybe he believed Mike Vick and thought he got the MVP. Gotta love Mike Vick.
Yeah.
God bless him. So, but this is the time. And, look, I get it. If I had a Super Bowl ring, you'd never shut me up. I'd be waving it around.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Going back to the discussion we had a couple of weeks ago about celebrating and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Sure, you would be happy and you would be going crazy. But even you, the obnoxious, odious, horrid creature that you are.
Obnoxious, odious,
yes.
Horrible creature
yes.
you are. Let me write that down.
Just let me talk. I know you, and you are not one of these type of people that would go up to like a Chris Carter or someone of that ilk, a Dan Marino, and try to shove something your team won in their face when they've done everything, you know, won Hall of Fame careers.
Right.
I mean, and that, to me, going back to another discussion we had, classless.
True. Newsflash, Doug Baldwin, a Super Bowl ring is not an individual honor. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is an individual honor. There's a difference there. Would Dan Marino and Chris Carter trade in that horrific yellow jacket for your Super Bowl ring? I'll bet you they'd do it in a heartbeat, but not for the reason you're waving that thing around.
Right.
That is a team honor. Your defense. Look, you contributed. Doug Baldwin was a big part of that team, but he was a small piece in a, I don't want to say irrelevant offense, offense wasn't the story of that team. You caught there on Marshawn Lynch's back, on Russell Wilson's back, on that defense's back. You did your job as – I'm not going to take anything away from Doug Baldwin. You did your job as a part of that cog, as a member of that team. That is not an individual honor and puts you in no place to call out a Hall of Famer like Chris Carter.
I agree 100%.
All right, Rick. Well, speaking of the Hall of Fame, I believe there's – a little Hall of Fame news we have of our own.
Yes, I sent out the first batch of official 2014 ballots
for the one and only
official Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. And I sent out the first batch of ballots to a lot of the writers, podcast hosts, and so forth. Players even.
Fantasy illuminaries, if
yes,
you will.
Yes, exactly. Fantasy illuminaries. So we just thought it would behoove us to read to you the class of nominees that are going to be voted on. And the criteria of being voted on is the ballot goes out and each illuminary votes for three players. They don't have to be – they can be all three from the same position, whatever, but vote for three.
Three players.
And – in order to get in, the player must reach 20% of the vote.
Ooh, so it's possible we could have no inductees.
It's very possible. And I'll tell you what, going through some of the few, they've already started, some had started coming in.
Easy for you to say.
And There's a lot of people have gotten votes. Let's put it that way. A lot of different players.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
But anyway, we're going to go run through the class, and I'm not going to go bore you with all the stats. But in the running back category, there's no tight ends made it on this year. But running backs: Walter Payton, Tiki Barber, Curtis Martin, Fred Taylor, Edgerrin James. Quarterbacks: Fran Tarkington, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner. Wide receivers: Lance Allworth, Andre Johnson, Wes Welker, Isaac Bruce.
Wow. Some interesting names on there, Rick. Tiki Barber, I believe, his first appearance on our ballot.
Yes, it is. There are a couple that were on last year. They are allowed to be on the ballots three times before they don't go on. So,
cool. Okay.
I didn't know there was
all these rules.
Oh, of course.
Wow.
And I have a feeling that it may be a year or two if a couple of these don't make them their second time around. We may give them a rest for the third go around. But, Tiki Barber, actually, in our scoring format, the criteria, averaged over 20 points per game for his career.
This was a guy, if you were playing PPR before PPR was cool, this guy, even in yardage terms, because I remember being a Tiki Barber, a frequent owner, he seemed to be the type of guy you could grab a little later. He never got a lot of run, never got a lot of juice. This guy won me some titles, and even before PPR existed, he would put up equal receiving stats as he did to his running stats, and always had the reputation, and fairly early in his career, having fumble issues. Dealt with that, and towards the end of his career, if I remember correctly, he was more valuable. He was bigger statistically in his late years as he was in his early.
Yeah. There's no question about that. Well, he learned to hold on to the football, which was one big drawback they had early in his career. But, and bringing a couple of players, well, actually only two from the golden years, I would guess, before fantasy football, and a lot of the rule changes. And that's why a lot of these people aren't on here. Fran Tarkington made the ballot at 47,000 passing yards. Now, of course, he's been surpassed by Dan Marino, Brett Favre, and numerous others. But, he still put up 342 touchdowns. Now, the interceptions kind of hurt him because of the different rules back then. I look to his 266 interceptions as opposed to Brett Favre's 336.
Yeah.
Different
eras, different game.
Exactly.
You know what I like about Fran Tarkington in watching? This is the one time of year I care about anything that happened before about 1993. And watching the old Super Bowl footage and all the stuff you see on the NFL Network leading up to the games. And watching Fran Tarkington, he was the original Mike Vick slash Colin Kaepernick slash Russell Wilson. I actually compare Russell Wilson to him a lot, because Tarkington was a drop back passer, but he could get around if he had to. A lot of Russell Wilson in him. That wasn't something you saw at all, from what I can tell, in that era, Rick, that he really did, and set him apart from other quarterbacks in that era.
And to his own admission, a scrambling quarterback in those days was frowned upon.
Because they were allowed to kill you.
Well, they were allowed
to kill you in the pocket, let alone once you got outside of it.
And he ended up with 3,674 rushing yards. And he probably ran three times that many yards by scrambling back.
You watch some of the old films. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff you saw. So definitely find him interesting. So a great class. Boy, it would be tough to pare that down to three.
Yeah, it is. And, Wes Welker made it. He's been a solid contributor for a lot of years, especially in a PPR league.
Now, if they all want to put a special steroid wing in the Baseball Hall of Fame, do we need to put a special PPR wing in the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame? Because I think on merit alone, Wes Welker has trouble getting in unless you have a special PPR category.
Well, this is the thing is about Wes Welker is our criteria is PPR, and surprisingly, he's lacking in point production, average per game. He is the lowest one of the wide receivers on the ballot this year.
Wow. You look at Andre Johnson. He's a 10, 12 catch a guy, game kind of guy. Marvin Harrison, very similarly. he was the catch guy. He was the, I hate to use possession guy for a guy with his skills, to Reggie Wayne's big play ability when they played together. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a very close ballot again this year. Last year it was pretty close. And, you know, leading points per game in the running back category, Tiki Barber actually leads. Tarkington leads the quarterbacks and Andre Johnson the wide receivers. And I'm fighting this cold.
Oh, it's killing you. I hope I don't have to perform any emergency medical procedures on my esteemed partner here. So check us out. Let us know at Asylum Football, asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com. What your thought is exactly, how you think it would go, and maybe we'll factor your vote in as well. So moving on from that, as Rick hacks up a lung here, ever forward, that's what we do here on the Asylum. Being the sycophants that we are, we have already reached a point where we are drafting our boy Dan Claskins of Fox Sports Radio in Cincinnati, also on GetSportsInfo.com, has started out what he is calling the first mock draft of 2014 in which we are participating. Thought it would be fun. We're just about the whole way through three rounds. Thought it would be fun to take an early look at the way things are going. And, Rick, I don't know if you had the opportunity to see much of it, but a lot of surprises here early on.
I haven't seen a whole lot. I saw your picks, but I haven't seen the draft. I knew, like, running backs went seven in a row, I believe, to start off.
That's the first thing I find surprising. If you go back to last offseason, our program director on the Armed Forces Radio Network, Dennis Farrell, Fantasy Sideline Show, a good friend of ours, we had him on the show and basically assailed him. He made the argument for taking running backs early and often in this new NFL. Just for laughs, in a couple of leagues I did it, and probably this, if he's hearing this is the first time he's hearing me admit it, I won three titles this year, Rick, and those were the three teams that won titles. So I'm starting to lean that direction, which then surprises me. I don't want to say surprises because this is what we do. Let's just read off the first couple picks. Jamaal Charles goes first overall to our buddies at Fantasy Football Oasis. I don't think anybody has any argument with that.
Out of the two championships I won this past year, Jamaal Charles was my first overall pick.
So certainly I think he becomes, we had that discussion, you wondered who the number one guy was going in. I think it's pretty much locked down. Jamaal Charles is the first overall pick this year. Shady McCoy goes second. Hard to argue against that. Our buddy, the fantasy exec, Corey Parson, in this draft with us, third overall. That's where Adrian Peterson goes in this first mock of the year. And that's someone I was curious about, what was going to happen to him after he started to show some signs of aging and some signs of getting beat up this year. Adrian Peterson, third overall. If you're sitting third, Rick, Adrian Peterson, your guy, if he's available?
If Jamaal Charles and McCoy are gone, yes. Yes, he is. I mean, I'm not going to give up on him yet. And I think their team's going to be better next year.
I think, though, other than the year coming back from the knee injury, this is probably the first year you may have a little trepidation in drafting a guy by the name of Adrian Peterson. It'll be interesting to see. I don't have a ton of concerns, but it's something that's going to be in the back of my head. The running back run continues. Now, here's a guy back. He was down in that 11-12 mark last year, sometimes slipping into the middle part of the second round. Now goes fourth overall to the X's and Y's podcast. I can't argue for what he did specifically in a PPR format. Matt Forte, a big jump to fourth overall.
Yeah, I mean, look what he did this past year. He's always been a concern, you know, getting banged up. But, I mean, he kind of like Ryan Matthews, put in 16 games and had a stupendous year. It's hard to imagine. Is that John Evans or is that Liz Loza?
I am not sure who's drafting for them. It just has the X's and Y's podcast. At fifth overall, I got to bring this up. I don't know if our buddy Jim Day, the fantasy Taz, listens to this show. The tight end love continues for Mr. Day, although
it's not Gronk,
not Gronk this year. Jimmy Graham, fifth overall. This man, we won't debate. We've had this debate for him. Nobody's backing off. Goes fifth overall. Then with the running backs again, Marshawn Lynch, the fantasy football chick, our boy Nick Raducanu, we brought up earlier. Eddie Lacy, seventh overall. Love the pick. Surprising. Here's a guy you got in the fourth, fifth round last year is going to be a first-round pick this year. I do not disagree whatsoever. Now, Gio Bernard goes eighth overall. Then we were up at nine, Rick. And coming off of what I said at the beginning of the segment here, I think Calvin Johnson. I debated Josh Gordon. I really did. But Calvin Johnson, I think if I'm sitting at nine to get that kind of production in a PPR format out of a wide receiver, I go for it.
It's hard to argue Calvin Johnson. He just year in and year out, he's just a dominant force wide receiver wise. And you're the ninth pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't fault you there.
At 10th overall, the fantasy Greek goes Peyton Manning. Again, how do you argue it? I don't love quarterbacks that early, but if you're going to draft one that early, Peyton Manning's your
Peyton Manning won a lot of championships this year in fantasy.
Yeah, now you get into just about how you'd expect to go. A.J. Green, Le'Veon Bell, Josh Gordon goes 13th to Dan Claskins. Love that pick, getting him with the first pick of the second round. Here's the second guy I wondered about that we're going to talk about all offseason, Rick. But before we do that, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back live on AsylumFantasySports.com and worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network, talking the first fantasy mock draft of 2014. Talked about Adrian Peterson earlier, maybe a few questions there. I may have more than other people. Now, here's a guy there's going to be a lot of questions on, a consensus top three pick last season, a rough start to a season, and a season-ending injury. Rick, with the 14th pick, the Football Guys take Doug Martin. I was curious to see where he would fall. Hard to tell. You don't know what his health's going to be like. What are your just overall thoughts, your gut opinion on Doug Martin?
I don't think that I could go that high. I'm too cautious with that. I mean, with Rainey, the way that he performed, I don't know. I just wouldn't go there. I mean, there is a perfect spot right there for one of those big wide receivers.
That's true.
Brandon Marshall's still around,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Demaryius Thomas
Demaryius
is still there.
Thomas.
Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, all
See,
of them
all
after
those
Johnson
me,
and Gordon were there.
Yeah, all of those guys are more attractive to me than Doug Martin.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Boy, you hate to let him go. He could be the guy. Somebody's going to get him in the second or third round this year. Very possibly could propel somebody to a championship.
Did they pick a back the first pick?
Oh, let me spin back up here. This was the Football Guys. In the first round, the Football Guys took A.J. Green. So got the receiver there, but boy, would I love
well,
to pair A.J. Green with one of those other wide
yeah,
receivers.
Yeah, Marshall, Bryant, somebody like
which
that.
Which brings us back up to us. We'll skip. The next pick was Demaryius Thomas, who I had slotted in there. The Fantasy Greek grabs him. So I turn around. I've got no running backs yet, but, Rick, I took Dez Bryant, best player on the board. I debated Brandon Marshall. He helped me out a lot. I know you're a Brandon Marshall guy. Dez Bryant
yep.
is so dynamic to me.
Yeah.
I think put him in a bag and pick one out.
Yeah,
I
you
really
start
do.
Comparing those guys. And a lot of people are a little more down on Brandon Marshall with the emergence of Alshon Jeffery.
I think it is. And I don't know if it makes you down on Brandon Marshall, but I think it takes a lot of those 14 and 15 catch performances
right.
away. I think the end result yardage-wise and touchdown-wise, you don't see take a hit. But in a PPR format, Alshon Jeffery's going to start cutting into his work a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I did find it interesting that Greek took Manning first and Demaryius Thomas second.
Yeah.
For the old hookup there.
That hookup early on, and
yeah.
boy, how could you argue about it most weeks? So,
yeah.
So interesting to see. So let's go through. We'll just try to pop out any surprises. I don't know if I want to call this a surprise, but Fantasy Taz, what could be the pick of the draft or what could hurt his team? A 20th overall, that's where Arian Foster went. That's your other big question, I think, going into this season.
Well, if you're slotting a running back, he's certainly the best one available.
No, no question. Is there risk there? I worry about that back. I really do.
Sure, you worry about it, but you're worrying about any running back now.
You're right.
Yeah,
at this point. It's
right.
all question marks, which is why I went back to the receiver where I didn't feel there were questions. However, you take a tight end in the first round, you know that's the risk of doing that.
Right.
You've really got to load up and you got to hit on somebody. And if you're going to hit on somebody, Arian Foster, I think, would be very interesting. Yeah, you know, we talked about him. Here we go, 21st overall, the X's and Y's. Alshon Jeffery leapfrogs Brandon Marshall by one pick. Alshon
wow.
Jeffery, the pick at 21. Going to be interesting to see. He disappeared some weeks, was massive other weeks, has really emerged. He was a hot talent coming out of college. Be curious to see if he can live up to that draft slot.
I think he certainly has a potential. I think that offense under Trestman is going to only get better. I mean, they've locked up Cutler, Forte, a great year. I mean, he's locked down. You got Marshall and Jeffrey. You know, they got a nice, viable tight end in Martellus Bennett now. So, man, I tell you what, I think they're going to be huge.
Yeah, no question about it. The next thing I find a little interesting, Rick, the last pick of the second round, our boys at the FF Oasis, not sure who's doing the drafting for them, if it's Scott, if it's
Chris,
if it's Dave. I'm not sure who's doing it. We'll definitely look into that. 12th pick of the second round, Rick, C.J. Spiller. It looks like they're going back to the well again. I'm not sure that's a pick I'd be willing to make. Even I hate to call the last pick of the second round early, but it's a little early for me.
Yeah, it is for me, too. And everyone was calling for the emergence of him last year, except for us, I think.
Yeah. And we took some flack for it early on.
We took some flack for it, but I tell you what, if Fred Jackson's still going to be there, and look, I know Fred Jackson's got mileage on him. He's going to be 32, 33 this year. But I'm just not sure C.J. Spiller is going to emerge as an every down back. I just don't think his durability is there. We could be proven wrong. I got slapped in the face with it this year by Ryan Matthews for the first time ever. However,
my boy.
I'm not. But Darren McFadden couldn't stay healthy.
That's right.
So it's a big risk with him. Yeah, he's dynamic, and there's no question about that. But I tell you what, I would not want to hinge. Okay, what backs are left
point? Let's go through. So Reggie Bush had just gone. I'm guessing that's the guy they were waiting for. So the next running back taken was Alfred Morris. I'd have felt a lot better with Alfred Morris.
I believe I would have, too.
Then the next back after that, Zach Stacy. Still some risk there, but I'd take him.
Give me Stacy.
Then coming after that, I drafted in the in our third round. Now, we had some questions there. You know, Ryan Matthews was still on the board. Ray Rice was still on the board. We debated him. I went with Chris Johnson. Knowing he's probably going to be leaving Tennessee, I'm hoping that's going to be a boom for him and not a bust. You know, Ray Rice was a guy I kicked around. He was actually just drafted. Hopefully while we're on the air, we're waiting out for the Fantasy Greek to pick, and I'll be up in the fourth round. Maybe we can get that in on the air if our turn comes up. So you see, so those are the guys. I think Alfred Morris was probably the obvious pick there. Zach Stacy, I find real interesting there.
I do, too.
Look, C.J. Spiller, the most dynamic player left, no question about it. I just have so many concerns about him that I wouldn't have had the guts to make that pick.
I think, to me, the biggest drawback is Zach Stacy is playing six games against Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle.
Yeah, you can't discount that. You really can't. Although he still managed to have some success this year against those teams, even those teams. But, yeah, that's something, a drawback. So that's where we're at. The last pick that was made, 38th overall, second pick of the fourth round, Ray Rice. He's another guy I was going to be monitoring. Apparently we're not alone in thinking, and Patrick Johnson, if you listened to the show last week, not alone in thinking we may have reached the end of the road for Ray Rice.
I don't think he's completely done, but I think those huge years are gone because, number one, Baltimore's offense has really suffered with the loss of Anquan Boldin. Of course, Pitta will probably be back.
Probably.
He wasn't banged up. He won't be banged up this year, we would hope. But they just don't have that dynamic receiving core. And Boldin was a real stopgap measure. He seemed to always make the play. He was always open. And I don't know. Baltimore, I think, is going to be rebuilding real soon.
Yeah, I think they are, that offense. So that's where we're at with that. Now, in talking about Ray Rice, before we move on, I know you've got some fun and frivolity over there, Rick, for the last 10 minutes. Ray Rice is not a guy I'm going to take the risk on in rounds 1 and 2.
No,
I want to think about it in 3. Second pick of the fourth round, downright brilliant. There is as much a chance that he is done as there is that he's going to go out and be the Ray Rice of old next year.
Yeah.
And maybe we're going to find out that hip just held him back that much this year. Right. I have my doubts, and in talking to Patrick Johnson, I really have my doubts. But second pick of the fourth round, football guys, well played. This is a guy you can recover from. If it doesn't work out, you can recover from a bad fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm. He's only 27.
Right.
So I don't, you know, he may not be done by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, let's not forget, you know, people hanging up Thomas Jones when he hit 29
right.
or 30, and he rushed for 1,400 yards at 31 or something like that.
And we are on the clock, Rick, so let's do it here right on the air. Fantasy Greek gets Frank Gore. I put him in a similar boat to, although much more success this year. Every year we're waiting for the year that it's going to be over. This may be the year, may not be. A nice pick in the fourth round for the Fantasy Greek. So let's enter the draft room, if I can find it here, under the gun, blah, 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 submit my lineup. I don't want to do that. My draft, make a draft pick. Here it is, Rick. We've done it. This is completely off the cuff.
Technology
so
at its finest.
We have Calvin Johnson, Rick.
Right.
We have Dez Bryant. We have Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
A question at the wide receiver position running back position. I'm thinking we've got to come back now and get our running back. Are we even looking at other positions?
It depends on who's out there.
You know, Larry Fitzgerald's out there, Victor Cruz. If you want to look at wide receivers, Vincent Jackson, Wes Welker. It's starting to get thin there, but, boy, we've got two good ones. Here's what's left at the running back position. I'm going to sort this down by the running back position.
Yeah.
Trent Richardson, a guy you were kicking around even taking in that third round. Steven Jackson still available. Rick, Maurice Jones-Drew may not be in Jacksonville. Appears to be healthy. If he found himself to a better team, there's still some pretty – you know who else I find interesting? It all looks like reports have been out that the Broncos aren't going to be able to maintain no Sean Moreno. Monty Ball's out there.
Right.
The running game has been successful there. David Wilson, I don't trust. Steven Ridley, I don't trust. Sproles, I don't know what happened there. It gets real thin after that. Richardson, Jackson, Jones, Drew, very, very intriguing to me, that trio.
I tell you what, at first blush, right to me, it's Richardson or MJD.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not going to risk Steven Jackson. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's going to be, what, 32 this year?
Yeah, he's
and
really.
And Atlanta was just pretty hard on him last year, I believe. That year was pretty rough. And, I think it's MJD or Richardson for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, an MJD, you'd think maybe Trent Richardson with a year in that system could come back to who he
right.
is. What I'm stuck on, as much as I have no respect for the front office of the Browns, they traded him in the middle of a season when they were still in contention for a reason.
Yeah.
Something's up there. There's something else afoot. I know he came on a little bit at the end of the year,
but
something is afoot. And I'm
MJD
not sure what it
has
is.
A track record.
Right. And you worry about him leaving Jacksonville. You worry about his age. But he's MJD. I think he's the pick here. I really do.
I think you're right. I think, and I'm not sure where he's going, if anywhere. I know he expresses that he wants to stay in Jacksonville. You would think they'd want to keep him. And I think that's the pick.
All right. So there it is. There's the pick in the third pick of the fourth round, Maurice Jones-Drew. So we're setting up right now, Rick, Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones-Drew. If this was 3 years ago, you know, we'd be saying the old championship gimmick. There's a few more questions about it,
right.
I think, at this point. But a team I don't feel awful about, especially in a PPR format.
I tell you what, Larry Fitzgerald still...
Put him on the board. Houston Mazzoli. Got it. Championship.
Larry Fitzgerald still piques the old interest right there, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, with, Carson Palmer in town with a year under their belt and, 10-6 record, they got that good defense. Hey, I look for a pretty good year out of him this year, too.
And if we didn't already have two, I think he would be a pick there if we drafted him normally the way we did. So, Rick, we've got about 5 minutes left. I'm tired of talking about football. Let's have a little bit of fun.
Well, I just happened to come across some old ads. And what I mean by that, advertisements of yesteryear.
Yesteryear.
And
back when you were in your 30s.
It's just amazing how certain things have changed. And looking at one here, there's
like
a little
the size of your forehead.
Little picture of a mother and a cute little baby.
Okay.
And this is by the Soda Pop Board of America.
Oh, who knew such a thing existed?
Out of Chicago, Illinois.
How do you get on that board?
Well, I don't think it's around anymore. But
no, have any idea how much?
But anyway, the ad says, for a better start in life, start cola early. How soon is too soon? not soon enough.
Ooh.
Laboratory tests over the last few years have proven that babies who start drinking soda during that early formative period have a much higher chance of gaining acceptance and fitting in during those awkward preteen years. So just feed that
kid.
Was there
anything to back that up? How does drinking Pepsi as a baby make you cool when you're 13?
Well, that was a soda pop board.
You can't argue with them. It's like the mall.
They certainly wouldn't lie.
That's true. That's fair enough.
Okay, this is an ad by a little one of those little cigars with a little plastic tips on the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I like those.
They were called Tipolettes.
Tipolettes, all right.
And they have this guy with the old sideburns, you know, and then this girl. You can see the picture over there.
Well, that's a lovely young
lady.
Yes,
long
hair
and the big long eyelashes.
Yeah.
And the headline is, blow in her face and she'll follow you anywhere.
I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Next.
Okay. This is an ad from Lloyd Manufacturing Company. And instantaneous cure.
Oh, okay.
For 15 cents.
15 cents.
Yeah.
Right.
Cocaine toothache drops.
Oh, nice, nice. And change back on a quarter. You can't beat that.
Your kids will be happy and your teeth will rot out of their head and they won't even know
All
it.
All right. But you got the cocaine in you, so that's good.
Right. Okay, no diet, no exercise.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Fat, the enemy that is shortening your life, is banished.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah.
They've solved it. Okay.
Would you like some of that?
I think I would. I'm in. I'm interested.
Cool. Because it is, it's wow.
Oh, it's wow.
Yeah. Sanitized tapeworms.
You actually bought tapeworms?
Yeah, easy to swallow.
I can imagine. They crawl right down there. Are they alive?
Yeah.
They have to be, right?
Yeah, they're tapeworms. You won't be fat.
No, you certainly won't. You'll
All
be
right.
dead, but you won't be fat.
For prompt control of I know where this is going.
Uh-oh, here we go.
For prompt control of senile agitation.
Oh, here we go. Senile agitation. Now, finally, we have a clinical term for what you are. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thorazine. Thorazine is proven to control the agitated, belligerent.
It's like they knew you back then.
And help the patient to lead a controlled and useful life.
Now that's what you need, a useful life.
Yeah.
This is,
look at the picture.
They wrote, it's you. It's you. It's a picture of Rick Briggs. How did they see this? This is some Nostradamus stuff. Senile agitation.
Okay.
Finally, we have a clinical term for what happened to you. Go ahead, Rick. We got about 30 seconds
okay,
left.
Okay, we have a mother holding a child here. How mother and baby picked up, in air quotes.
Okay.
A case of Blatt's beer in your home means much to the young mother, and obviously baby participates in its benefits.
Oh, from the beer.
The malt in the beer supplies nourishing qualities that are essential at this time.
Oh, I can't agree more.
And the hops act as an appetizing, stimulating tonic.
So it'll help them grow.
So get some Blatt's beer.
So all this crap over the last 40 years of drinking actually stunting a baby's growth is, in fact, untrue. The
exactly.
hops, the malt will bulk that kid up. The pop will make them socially acceptable. They get a toothache. You hop them up on some cocaine. No wonder everybody thought the 40s and 50s were better than this terrible life we're living now. They were all stoned all the time.
Exactly.
15 years, solid stone these kids were. That's fantastic.
Golly.
Ooh, that was a lot of fun, Ray. I wish I had grown up back in your area. Now that you've got the senile agitation, we're going to get you some of that Thorazine, no doubt about it.
As you can tell, I'm calm and leading a controlled and useful life.
Well, it's useful. It's a debatable, but you're useful to me right now.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
I don't know how you follow that up, Rick, so I think it's time to get out of here. Thank you to everyone for checking us out. Back home, Rick, I feel like, on the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I'm glad you could join us. And the Tuesday Blitz is just something that we like being part of.
Right.
And
great lineup. Great lineup. Happy to be part of it, and it's where we belong. So, we will be back Thursday, Rick. What's happening Thursday? Remind me one more time.
We are playing, in its entirety, the interview with NFL agent Relio Mastrantonio. Please do not miss it because it's great stuff. We did it a couple of weeks ago. We're going to start on a series, but we thought it would be a lot better just to play the whole thing. So listen Thursday at 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio.
8 o'clock Eastern. We'll be back Tuesday on the Blitz, 7 o'clock Eastern. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network for continuing to have us in. Check us out there. Let them know you heard it at the AFRN, armedforcesradionetwork.co. For my friend, my colleague, and the senilely agitated Rick Briggs, we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll see you.
Take care.